Check 1, 2.
Well, hello there, boyfriend. How are you this fine day?
I'm really good.
Is it working?
Yes.
Excellent. Let's not touch shit.
I'm afraid to ask, but I have a great question.
I don't even know what I was going to say. I'm so disturbed right now.
What's happening is I'm getting a colonoscopy.
Oh, we're recording. Oh.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your exciting event.
Because I was not going to do it. I was never going to schedule it.
What?
It just wasn't. It's like my flu shot. I don't get them. I don't get the flu. Everything's fine.
Not anymore, my love.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucked.
You had told me when I was thinking about scheduling a colonoscopy, I had always heard 50 years old. I'm not 50 years old, Erica. And so I was very excited that I had a whole... I'm hesitantly saying my age.
I saw that.
I started stuttering. I was like, should I just lie and pretend I'm young? No, I'm 49. And you like to round up to 50 sometimes.
Well, to make fun of you, but in women's age, I always round down.
Yeah. And so anyway, I thought I was like, yay, I'm going to get, dating a doctor. I go, I should probably get a colonoscopy. And then I go, is 50 the right age? And you go, not anymore. I moved it down, which made me feel like I was no longer on like getting ahead. It made me feel like I was behind, and it worried me a little bit because why would the doctors want you to go check at 45? Now I'm not a year early. I'm 4 years late. And so now I have stress related to that.
Yeah. I get that a lot, though. The guidelines actually recently changed, so it hasn't been like that. So you didn't mess up. A lot of people are playing catch up because everybody heard age 50 for a long, long time. Unfortunately, we're diagnosing a lot more colorectal cancer a lot earlier in age in life. So the USPSTF guidelines basically said, you know what? There's way more people getting sick. Let's round down to where we can hopefully catch something early.
Is this to make me feel better, all this? So you're saying...
You're young, and the scary thing, I guess it's a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
More people are getting sick earlier, but at the same time, we're catching stuff earlier now.
Catching it sooner.
Changed the guidelines to starting at an earlier age.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying. You're saying they're doing this to be, to catch something a little bit earlier. But from my perspective, I guess I felt like I was getting it early by doing it a year before 50, but now I feel like I'm late, and late makes me, I get a little anxious, a little stressed out. That makes me feel like that I'm late and something could be going on. But you're saying even if there was something, this is better than, right?
Yeah. I mean, what we're trying to do is catch stuff before it spreads, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to catch stuff before you're sick or you have symptoms too.
Yeah.
So that's the goal. I know it sucks to hear, oh, I have to have a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. I hear it all the time in my office, and I tell people, you're young, I'm sorry, but happy birthday.
Right. What I thought was,
do it though. You gotta do it, right?
Yeah, I'm doing it. I have it scheduled. I'm on the books. And what surprised me was, we've been dating for a while. When we started dating, I would come to visit you and I was staying in a hotel. And then after a while, it was like, yeah, well, you should sleep here. And then after a while, there was no more hotels, and I would stay at your house. And then when we talked about the colonoscopy, you said, oh, the day before the colonoscopy, I'll pick you up from the airport and then we'll drop you off at your hotel. And then the next day we'll do, and I was like, oh, I thought I was a bed guy. I thought I slept over at your house from now on. But
well, you're a guy who sleeps at my house. You're not a guy that poops at my house. So I was trying to give you the upper hand.
I see what you're saying. So what happens is the night before colonoscopy, you got a drink. You drink some shit. You drink like a gallon of...
No, you drink stuff to make you shit, Jamie.
Right.
Lots of shit. Explosive, intentional shit. Powerful. Yeah.
I like that word, intentional.
Yeah, well, doctors are assholes.
Yeah.
Intentionally invoke diarrhea for fun.
I've never had an unintentional shit that went well. Right?
I asked you that once, and you completely skirted the question, and I'm going to make you uncomfortable. I asked you the last time you shit your pants, and you know what you told me?
Huh.
3 months old.
Yeah, I used to shit my pants long when I was little.
I'm like, come on.
Well,
own it.
When we started talking, you would send me these cute little surveys. So it wasn't like out of nowhere you said, when's the last time you shit your pants? It was this survey, not a survey, a questionnaire.
Yeah.
And one of the questions was, when's the last time you shit your pants? And I said, I think when I was a baby. I was trying to answer honestly. I can't remember the last time I did that. Pretty good control.
Old.
I'm not sure what's going to happen. I feel like I have pretty good control down there. I'm not sure what's going to happen after your friend puts a camera in my asshole.
Oh, you're toast.
I don't know if it's going to ruin my muscles that I've they've worked really, really well so far. But you know what? You had...
I answered honestly, by the way.
So what is it? What was it? I kind of remember. You shit your pants at work?
Yes, absolutely. I was doing a procedure. Mm-hmm. I was excising a lesion off someone. I had just anesthetized them. Mm-hmm. And I went out of the room when they were prepped to get something. And I took a chance and I gambled wrong.
You did.
I had a horrible stomach flu.
Wow.
And, well, stuff happened. And instead of canceling the day, the patient was already there. I proceeded to continue.
Yeah. That's a doctor thing, right? You got to go in when you're tired. You got to go in when you're sick and accidents happen.
Yeah.
What do you do at that point? You excuse yourself? Do you guys have a shower in the hospital? What do you do?
Oh, I've shit myself so many times at work, and I've peed my pants at work. I've had horrible things happen.
And are there...
You work through it. I've actually...
You work through it, so you're not, you don't even get a break. It's not even like an airline lounge.
On call, and I was the only doctor who was available. We couldn't get backup, so I was carrying a basin around the hospital because I was actively vomiting.
Wow.
And this is not a bragging thing. You don't want to be sick at work.
No, of course not.
You do what you gotta do.
So when you're on call, that means like even if you're not in the room, if they need someone to shit, they call you.
Oh my god. So no, like I would have to take care of a patient at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I just finished vomiting, got the page, ran up to the room, ran the code, so did CPR, resuscitated, whatever I had to do, and then came back to my call room and stayed there for a few more hours.
I've never gambled and lost. Except for actual gambling.
You say that.
I would tell you the truth.
No.
I've gambled and lost money.
No.
I've never gambled and lost of what we're talking about.
I don't believe you.
I can't think of... I'm not of a great memory. If I think of one, I'll fess up to it. But I do not think I've gambled and lost.
I think the most interesting thing is, as a physician, we talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And all my friends are...
We talk about this as a comedian. We talk about this a lot too. Shitting yourself?
Well, we'll have roundtable discussions at dinner, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about like the craziest case we saw or who got covered in the most disgusting stuff that day at work.
Yeah.
And we'll just eat right along with it.
I know. I noticed that right away with you. I noticed that you did not get grossed out by stuff. And we were talking and you go... Hold on, give me 1 second. I'm on this, like, you were on some sort of text thread with a bunch of guys talking about balls.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? And there was like a house level, like House the TV show? Dr. House?
Never watched it. I've never watched almost every single doctor show out there. I hate them.
Wow. House is the one where it's usually a super uncommon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had like a house level testicle situation. And you guys were doing a, what is it called? You're brainstorming, but it was like you're making like a think tank about what was wrong with this man's balls.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was? I don't.
We never found
pain,
out.
Pain in the balls?
No, he had multiple punctate calcifications throughout his testes.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea what the etiology was, though. We still, to this day, haven't figured it out. I mean, it was like gunpowder, like burns, which are pathognomonic.
Burns?
No.
Hurt? Painful?
It's pathognomonic for like an other disease process, but that's what we described it in his scrotum as well. But he had like on imaging, it was like Christmas lights of calcium all throughout his testicles. And we honestly had no idea why he developed them there and nowhere else. But it's excruciatingly painful. And I think it's kind of cool because, I mean, you've got doctors all in their free time working together, brainstorming to come up with an answer for
something
on our off hours. So yeah, I like working stuff up like that. He wasn't my patient, so I didn't have the follow up. He was just a friend who was asking like, hey, what would you do? And so I talked to him about like the labs that I would order, and I talked with a urologist friend of mine, and we kind of worked through it. But unfortunately he was lost to follow up with the other system. So I don't know what happened.
That's a serious issue, right? A guy's ball. Yeah. He goes to the emergency room, his balls hurt, whatever. You know what you told me once that fascinated me?
No,
you asked me why are the balls on the outside of the body. It seems to me like a design flaw. It seems to me like that's a very tender thing.
It is kind of a flaw.
Yeah, aesthetically. Okay, and also, no, I don't think so. I'm so used to seeing them. You know how you don't know if you get older because you see yourself every day? Eh, see my balls a lot. I'm used to them being there. If they were gone tomorrow, I'd be like, where'd those guys go?
Would you miss them, though?
I think so.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know. Definitely would miss them. But I see you not having them. Well, and then I try to guess why balls are on the outside of the body, because it does seem like an engineering flaw. And is it something to do with temperature of I think I guess wrong. I don't want to steal your answer because you told me the answer, but I thought something like, I don't remember what I thought, but something with sperm.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So sperm actually survive at a lower temperature than our core body temperature. So if your scrotum was inside of your body, it would be a higher temperature and they probably wouldn't survive. Well, not probably, they wouldn't survive. So
if my balls were on the inside of my body, you know how much more money I would have saved right now?
What?
Because I wouldn't have any children.
Oh my God. Bad joke.
So you're saying they're on the outside of the body because that's the temperature they need to be at, room temperature. You got to have your balls at room temperature.
Well, I don't know. I haven't exactly measured the sperm's temperature of choice, but yeah, they like to have a colder environment than the rest of our body. So basically, it's a mechanism that's been effective for helping with fertility.
You know, from now on, I'm going to say sperm temperature instead of room temperature because that's the ideal. Like when people offer you water, I just bought shoes the other day and they go, you want room temperature or cold?
You're going to get punched in the face if you say that to a waiter. I don't think you can say that to
him. Ooh, could I get one sperm temperature flat?
No, gross.
Do you ever get that question though? They go, do you want room temperature,
sperm temperature?
Or cold?
No.
What would you say to water? Cold, right?
I don't prefer cold water. It hurts my teeth.
Holy shit. I was about to say they should just go, are you... Wow, heathen, I thought...
A heathenistic person I did who not, just wants...
I stand corrected. It hurts your teeth. Okay. Yeah. Are you drinking it? Are you opening your mouth before you drink it? How is it hurting your teeth? You mean... Oh, you mean the temperature.
Water. When you drink cold substances,
yeah.
If you have sensitive enamel issues, then it's
all right.
Cold.
You prefer sperm temperature water, I totally
Oh
understand.
My God. Mm-hmm. I'm never drinking water again now. Ew.
I don't know what happened. I don't know how we got to hear from the colonoscopy, but basically, I don't know, prevention, things like that. So I got this colonoscopy coming up. I got to drink this gallon of Gatorade or something. I have to shit violently and not excited about it. I'm sure other guys have been through it. Did I tell you that how often you have to have, once you have your first one, we've decided that's now 45 years old, not 50. Once you have your first one, how often do I need a colonoscopy?
So if it's normal, 10 years. If you have no substantial personal or family medical history that would make us want to do it earlier and your screening is completely normal, 10 mm-hmm. years.
Everything you say triggers me. I'm like, oh,
why
what if mine's not normal?
Oh, you're fine. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Are you mostly concerned about the prep or are you mostly concerned about something going up your ass? Because I get a lot of both. And I try to dispel that and tell people it's totally fine mm-hmm. on both aspects.
You know what's weird? What you just said to me?
What?
That's an interesting question. Are you more concerned about the prep or something going into your ass?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like to say to girls when I bring them back to my...
Jamie.
That's how I open up.
Jamie.
What are you most concerned about?
I'm trying to be like
I like
serious.
To find out. So I am absolutely... You're not going to believe this. Oh. I am concerned about option C, the results. So like the
of course I believe that. That's why a lot of people prevent doing it in the first place or just refuse to do it because they're scared for what they'll find.
Yeah. The prep I'm kind of excited about because I feel like I might maybe kind of lean.
What?
Drinking a lot of water.
You'll finally have a shit your pants answer for me.
Yes.
Cool.
But that excites me to do something weird like that. That doesn't bother me. I don't want to do it at your house. Well, no, I guess we decided. I was going to stay at a hotel. And then the other day you go, would you want to just stay upstairs? I don't think anyone's going to hear anything. But then we're on here and you said words like explosive. I think the word violent might have been used. I think, what was the other one? But not voluntary, but intentional.
Intentionally invoke diarrhea. But the thing is, I like to poke fun at it because in medicine, doctors have to have a sense of humor or a lot of what we do kind of gets to us. In all honesty, it's not that bad. I've done it. I've personally had a colonoscopy, mm-hmm. just so you know. And the prep isn't that difficult. I think what's hard is you're awake all night, so you're tired. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be like violently ripping through your body. You'll be okay.
I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about like someone hearing me or seeing, like,
oh.
Do you know, we've been dating for, how long do you think we've been dating? What do you want to say? Like a year?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've been for like a year. I hope that you're under the impression that I do not defecate.
Mm.
It's never happened. Never done it in front of you. I think one time I couldn't get out. Can I tell you something honestly?
Oh boy.
When we were at, with Bergman, where were we? And we were in like Florida. We're at Port Charlotte, Florida, right? And we're staying at this hotel that was not super awesome. The hotel was not super awesome. And I think I told you, I go, you know what? I'm going to go do, I'm going to go do some pull-ups.
You did.
At the fitness room, right? And I think I did this twice. I think I said I was going to do pull-ups. Can I tell you some of the truth? There is no fitness room at that hotel.
Jamie, you lying son of a bitch.
Not only, there's not even a fitness room.
Why'd you lie to me?
I went to use the restroom.
You should have just said, you know what? I'm going to step out for a bit.
Okay.
I'm going to hang out with my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Not fully lie.
Yeah.
It's funny because I knew.
Yeah.
You came back and you had this facial expression. Of
I did? Did a couple sets of push-outs.
I called you out. Gross.
Then one time, there's only been one time. I don't even like talking about this. I just feel like, could we go through, say we got married or something. Do you get to a point where you, I'll be honest with you, I've never been comfortable with poop and stuff. Like I see married couple stuff and there's the doors open and there's like, I think you have to maintain, keep in mind, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist, yeah. I'm not anything. I think there has to be some things that we keep to ourselves for intimacy reasons. I don't mind seeing somebody pee, but I feel like once it goes to like, I mean, if you're in a hotel room or at Disneyland, someone's got to go in there. There's nothing anyone can do. Fine. But I think a daily, hey, come on in and smell my shit is going to be a slow erosion of intimacy.
Okay. I'll make sure to never do that then.
No, would you have disagreed before I said that?
I think I have a much higher level of tolerance for that type of activity. Based on my line of work.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Blatant, unnecessary farting, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not exactly going to be like, oh, yeah. Strap me back on your motorcycle. Let's go back to when you were 16. Like,
right.
Be back. I love it.
I don't like the farting thing either. I'm uncomfortable talking about it.
I guess we should loop back to what's going to happen to you after your colonoscopy when I pick you up.
I don't like farting talk.
Uh-oh.
I'm not into it. I don't like the jokes. I think when kids do it or it makes a noise, it's funny, but I must have grown up. Is that in the Bible? Is this part of a kid? Because I feel like I have a sex guilt, a pleasure guilt. I also have like a fart. Is that in there?
I don't.
Did somebody get in trouble for farting in the Bible?
I think you're okay.
Do you go to hell if you fart in front of a girl or something? Because I have a weird.
What?
I just have a weird feeling about it. Guys, too. I don't think I'd fart in front of a guy. I know, it's weird,
what?
Right?
I know. I feel like that's interestingly odd.
Yeah.
First of all, I like it. Thank you. You're much more attractive to me because you don't do any of that stuff. You're like a perfect man.
I do it.
You're like a Ken doll. You're so nice to look at and you just don't do anything gross.
Sometimes when I'm leaving you, I go, God, I'm so sad. I have to fly away, but I do have to take a shit.
And I know that's true. I know it's true.
I do.
Well, so maybe this would be the thing you're most uncomfortable now that we talk about it.
Okay.
You are going to rip ass when I pick you up for the procedure.
Mm-mm.
Will they insufflate you?
Insufflate.
Pump you full of air.
Okay.
Not always, but with the procedure, the way that it goes, when you're looking at things, there's a lot of air that goes into you. So after the procedure, you're super loopy. You're not going to remember anything. And that's when I get to mess with you. And it'll be funny because I can ask you questions and you'll probably answer honestly and say silly things.
Oh, yeah?
And then you're just going to be farting like crazy.
Is it I hate all of this. Is there like an Uber? Can I just take an Uber?
You're not going to have the ability to like know.
Is there like an Uber
hide your farts?
Crement?
So I'm going to hear it.
Is there
excrement?
Yeah.
That poor Uber driver. You know how they charge you an extra fee if you bump in their car? That should be like $100 surcharge just for coming home from a colonoscopy.
There should be hazard pay for driving a man home from colonoscopy.
Or at least like some type of partition so I don't have to smell it.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit.
Quite literally, my love.
It just, all joking aside, not comfortable. Don't know what's going to happen, but maybe that's good. Is it good to get out of your comfort zone? And you're a doctor, so maybe things are different. Maybe you've seen more things.
I've done colonoscopies. I think I think you're in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny that my friend is doing yours.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like, I've never even seen your butthole, but my friend gets to touch it.
Oh my God, gets to. Use the term "gets to" in a lot of places. Where I would think you would say, the other day you were like, oh, I got to break this guy's nose for a procedure.
Oh, I loved doing
that. But are you supposed to say get to?
Well, get to for touching your butthole sound. I was saying that facetiously. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean that. No physician would be inappropriate like that.
Weird.
But saying gets to break a nose. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a privilege. Like it was truly like an honor. I was mm-hmm. so excited that I got to be the one that got to break the nose. I was helping them. I wasn't hurting right. them.
I hear what you're saying.
Big difference.
I'm not into butthole stuff, but my penis did move when you said that.
Ew.
Just the willingness.
Ew.
Okay.
Like moving on.
So colonoscopy, is this stuff I get? What do I get? What is the drug situation?
You're going to have a sedative.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be awake, but pretty significant sedation. You don't need a breathing tube or anything like that. Like they don't put you fully under.
What? I thought I was completely out and then I just wake up and it's
you'll,
done.
You'll feel, yeah, you'll be sleeping, but you still breathe on your own.
I see what you're saying.
It's not like when you have like massive major surgery where you're anesthetized, where we give like a paralytic, you stop breathing on your own. Eesh. You have to have an intubation so they'll breathe for you. Anesthesiology is there for several hours, making sure that everything's going well. You don't have all of that. You'll usually have like a nurse anesthetist monitoring, but it's nothing severe and it's outpatient. Yeah. So it's not like...
I have so many thoughts. First of all, I think I might have said this on Gutfeld once, but did I ever tell you that I used to think local anesthesia meant that we got it from like around here?
Yes.
I thought it was like honey. Like you're like, oh, I like to use the local anesthesia. It's good for my allergies. That's true. That's not a joke. Then I was thinking anesthesiologists must make a lot of money.
They are one of the highest compensated physicians out there.
You know why I guess that? I feel like the risk... The liability.
Yeah.
Like imagine if you...
That practice is incredibly expensive for them. Insurance.
Because when I worked at Arby's, if I made a huge mistake, that might mean I put horsey sauce on a super. Horsey sauce doesn't go on a super. That's Arby's sauce. This guy makes a mistake. He's like, okay, wake up. You're all done. Hello, wake up. And then he's like, shit.
Yeah.
That's like a serious, you got to be good with dosages.
Yeah. They also have one of the highest rates of physician suicide too. They have access to all of... Oh, I didn't mean to be a downer.
Yeah.
It's every specialty has...
Oh, access to... Because it's easier.
They have access to the drugs or they know how.
Yeah. Can I ask you a very serious question? Mm-hmm. This is very serious. I have once before been completely or partially consciously put out. I had some kind of thing in my back or something. I don't even know. And they did a thing. They put a mask on. They go count backwards from 10. And you go 10, 9. And then you go, what's happening? And they go, you're done.
Yep.
Right? Why are we afraid of dying?
Ugh.
What would have happened if I didn't wake up that day? Nothing. So I have no memory of that time being out. So I don't understand why the big fear of dying. I have it too. But I just was thinking about if you... Or to take it to an even sillier thing. Like if you go to sleep... I feel like dying is so much harder on the people that are still around, but it's weird that we all have this crazy fear of not existing. I realize I took a turn from assholes to drugs to...
Yeah, that's a very heavy question.
You don't have to...
I think the problem is with my profession, I'm trained to prolong the inevitable as much as possible.
Right.
So death to a doctor is almost like you failed at your job.
Mm.
So we hate it because we haven't been able to keep the patient alive.
That makes sense.
But I have a fear of death, I think, also because of the pain, because I've seen a lot of people die in horrible fashions in front of me, and that's been tough.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah.
If you could just go to sleep, yeah, that's great.
That's the best way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sleep, die. That's what I'd like to do.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, if you had to choose, I don't want to. Worst for me? Drowning.
I don't
want to
talk about this. Okay. It's so creepy.
I'm sorry. I almost drowned once. It was terrible. Hawaii. Anyway, sorry about that.
No, it's just doctors.
Sidebar.
You can see how uncomfortable I am.
Yes,
doctors,
I'm sorry.
Doctors don't like death. We just don't like, except hospice doctors.
Oh,
they're really good people.
I didn't mean to make light of it. I was just thinking like as a person. You know what? One of the most beautiful women in the sense of beautiful, like a beautiful soul, was my dad went to hospice. Like when he had 3 months to live, they go to this. It's like a nice house and there's like a beautiful thing. And the people that worked there, you're right. It was like a different kind of human being, mm-hmm. you know? And they were really good at going like, make sure you say stuff. Don't forget to say that all of a sudden. It's going to happen faster than you think. And I'll never forget this lady. I wish I'd remembered her name. I don't remember her name. I just remember her being like a special kind of person.
Yeah.
You know?
I have an immense amount of respect for hospice professionals.
Yeah.
It's a tough job.
So.
You know, I actually chose my profession One of the reasons was because my patients tend to be really healthy and I hated it when they died, and I wanted one that had a very low likelihood of death rates.
That makes sense.
So that's why I love what I do, because very few people actually die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about some of the, yeah, for real, that would be a really, really tough way to make a living, like to deal with that day in and day out. But mm-hmm. I mean, we need those people, so I'm psyched that they are able to do that, but I totally understand.
You know, I got a text from my friend earlier today when we were recording, the butthole doctor. Not the one that's doing, but
my guy?
Other one.
You got two guys?
I do, I have two.
What's he saying? What's going on with him?
Oh, we were just I was asking him about work and stuff, but I just think it's funny that that's how I describe my friends to mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
Butthole guy one or butthole guy
yeah.
two.
You're like skin guy.
Yeah.
You got a lot of friends. You got derm dude.
Yep.
You got two butthole guys.
I have one penis doctor I'm really good friends with.
You do?
Yeah. She's a female urologist.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Great conversations.
I'll bet. She married? Dating? Can't say. I don't mean for me. I mean, is that weird that a doctor sees a bunch of people? It just seems like a lot of competition.
Well, I was just going to say, I liked your joke when you were on stage talking about how you're happy that your girlfriend is a women's health doctor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
About how, like, you would not be very comfortable if I saw a bunch of male anatomy.
Oh, yeah, on. That's right. Yeah, right? I did say that.
One of my best friends from intern year and residency is a female urologist. That's what she does. And she's married.
Okay. And I'm sure it's the same thing. It's just work, whatever. But I just don't think, I feel pretty sure in myself, but I don't know if I just would want my girlfriend like every day coming in. Like, do you need that kind of temptation? And you're like, oh my God, I didn't know they came in that size or that color.
Well, it's temptation. You see all the bad stuff. She's probably like, oh, thank God.
Right.
A normal, healthy one.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
How about that?
You know how I said that as a comedian, we would invite people to our shows in order to hit on like a girl or something. Do you think that a female urologist would go like, come on in here? Not necessarily a urologist, but you think that would be a way to hit on?
Absolutely not. I was thinking that when I was like, oh, how would I like set up the first perfect date for a guy? I would never bring you into my office.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I hate it when I get hit on at work.
It's yeah.
the worst.
I hate it too.
Well, I know you do. But I'm like in the mentality of professional, mm-hmm. and then I have to basically say, like, listen, we're going to keep it going.
If right.
You never talk to me like that again, or you're done.
What's the worst thing anyone's ever said?
One time I was, I had just treated a guy for chlamydia, and you asked me.
Almost spit out coffee. This is crazy.
Why? I do it all the time.
No, but I mean, you're no, I know, but I mean, if you're about to tell me he hits on you or something after this, this is
a great story. I can't believe I never told you about this. Mm-mm. So I was a resident. So I was an actual doctor on mm-hmm. rotation in inner city Detroit. And we were working at a low income clinic that doubled as like a homeless clinic.
Yeah.
And this patient came in. And he had all the symptoms, tested positive. So we had given him treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm leaving, across the hall, the other door is open. And uh-huh. there's another guy. And, you know, patient confidentiality, we always keep the door shut. But these guys open the doors at the same time. I couldn't help that. And he looks at him and he's like, hey, man, what you in here for?
Okay.
And the guy gets
like
quiet.
Prison.
And I'm thinking they're not going to say.
Right. What you in here for?
And then the other guy goes, probably same thing as you, man.
Yeah.
Because of blank.
Yeah. And then they said the girl's name. They were both banging?
They did.
No, I was just kidding.
No, they were dead serious.
You're kidding me.
So we treated them both and gave them education on how to have safe sex, because everybody should have as much sex as they want.
And they obviously didn't have it.
And the second guy on the way out said, wow, thanks, doc. Are you single?
The chlamydia guy.
And he looked at me and he said, I also need a prescription for Viagra if so.
Mm-hmm. On the confidence.
So he asked me for my phone number.
So.
And I gave him the doctor I was working with's business card and walked away.
So let me ask you this question.
So that was very awkward.
Let me ask you this follow-up question.
What?
He's back at your house. You guys are talking.
Jamie.
I just remember how the other story started off so horribly and then you guys were playing records and kissing.
I didn't kiss him.
The other guy you did.
I just kissed him. Nothing else happened.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I just used it for some extra. So that's, but the balls the balls on these guys, like to be able to know. I can't ask a girl to have to go, I'm check that box, chlamydia. Also, I need Viagra, which means I can't even keep it. And then to right. go, can I have your phone number? Can you imagine?
I've gotten hit on multiple times for men asking me for Viagra.
Unbelievable.
I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Yeah.
What? What are you thinking about?
I was thinking that I would surprise you that the chlamydia didn't really bother me. The Viagra bothered me. I treat chlamydia all the time, but the erectile dysfunction.
Sorry to interrupt. Is chlamydia, you can cure it?
Yeah, very easy to treat.
Okay. Nice. And why does the Viagra bother you? Because the person, that would be tough to have a relationship with someone that couldn't get it up, or the fact that they use, what is it?
Well, it's an awkward conversation in general. I don't like practicing men's health. I don't do it very often. Mm-hmm. When I have a male patient come in and say, I'm here for a cough. It's never a cough.
Right.
It's always for that. If I have a woman come in, she'll say, I'm having vaginal bleeding. I'm having vaginal discharge. And they own up to it. Mm. And I often have patients who lie. They lie to my MA. So I go in the room thinking I'm treating a cough. I get the whole workup in. I look up all their labs, their previous x-rays. I'm ready to go. And they're like, I'm just here because I want Viagra. And I'm like, dude, just tell the truth.
But Erica,
but
as
it
a
ruins
man,
my, I get so far behind in my day.
I know.
So just own up to it.
But as a man, if your penis doesn't work, not speaking from experience, but you want to tell the fewest people possible that your penis doesn't work,
but
right?
You're in your healthcare setting where I've known you for years.
Yeah, but I'm telling the receptionist and filling out a
form. Well, yeah, they lied to the receptionist too.
I'm in the lobby. They're like, oh, the guy, this dick doesn't work.
No,
it's your turn.
Don't say that.
Come on back.
And the other thing is I kind of don't like Viagra that much.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
I asked you if I could try it.
For a couple of reasons.
Remember I go, could I try that?
Yeah, you don't need it.
Okay, but remember I was like, wouldn't it be fun? And you
I know a lot
no.
of guys who ask for it recreationally. But there's side effects too.
Recreationally? Never thought about that.
Well, that's the problem though. It's a medication. It's a prescription. It was actually initially marketed, developed for hypertension. So it's a vasodilator. It expands the blood vessels all over your body, including your penis. It fills with blood. So you get an erection that's usually going to last for longer.
Do you know, in the original study, when it was to reduce hypertension, when they'd come into the doctors thought they were just super psyched that they reduced their blood pressure because they had huge erections. Like, well, these guys are really excited about their progress.
Well, the reason I don't like Viagra is a lot of men want it when they aren't appropriate candidates. They already have problems with their blood pressure and they want it anyway.
Right.
Or they have underlying comorbidities such as diabetes where they can't have an erection and they don't want me to treat that. They just want me to give them an erection and I have to explain to them I'm not trying to take away your social life. I have to fix everything else. But
I'll
here's
bet you give
why
a lot of guys erections.
By my prescriptions?
No, I just mean you're unattractive.
Thanks.
You're an attractive woman.
That's why I practice with
myself. Please finish your thought, and then I have a follow-up question.
If you actually look at the studies that Pfizer was doing with sildenafil, so the generic for Viagra, in early studies, they actually found that it helped substantially reducing menstrual pain in women. And remember how we talked previously about how period pain is equivalent to heart attacks?
Yes.
So they actually had pretty amazing early on evidence that it would help substantially eliminate significant pain during your menstrual cycle, reducing missed days of work, cutting back on lost job, wages, finances. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this,
if
right?
If women take Viagra?
Yeah.
Wow. And so just to reiterate, if anybody missed it, period pain... It, when they tried to figure out like what that intensity felt like, that was the equivalent to a man having a heart attack?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
The cramping part.
Cramping part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is what bothered me is the study even says it. If you look at the printed material, it says that they've had prelim findings that were pretty substantially impressive to help reducing pain.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they found out it gave men erections.
Wow.
So they abandoned the study to help women with menstrual pain and dumped a lot into erection.
Nice.
Not even close.
Not nice.
No.
Because you're saying they should have helped these women.
Yeah.
And now the men, they saw the money.
Yep.
They go, this is like the magic pill.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So
that bothers me because they had pretty good evidence out there that they could have run with. And it felt like sex was chosen over chronic pain management.
Sex and money and greed.
Yeah.
Over that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Isn't it crazy how many medications we discovered by mistake? How many Medicaid? Isn't Rogaine one of those? Like people started growing hair. Wasn't there something that just started growing hair on someone's nipples or something? Or is that wrong?
Well, minoxidil has side effects of, yeah. Well, penicillin, like mold spores. I mean, I think that it's really interesting how we've developed a lot of modern medicine.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wild. Well, I guess I'm not going to try Viagra. It's tempting. As a guy, you go, you're not necessarily thinking like, I can't perform in the bedroom. You're going like, more's better. Like, let's go more longer. Let's keep this going. So it's like a fun, almost like I'm awake, but a coffee would make me more awake. I'm not asleep. I don't need coffee to wake up, but it might be like a fun thing. But you really warned me off that. You were like, you shouldn't take that.
No, not at all. Yeah. I mean, I'm very cautious to prescribe any medication unnecessarily. And, you know, I do think that they marketed it in a way that tried to appeal to men by capitalizing on their side effect. You know, the side effect is, you've seen the commercials. What's the big side effect when they're like, oh, there's take Viagra, but oh shit, if you take this, this could happen.
You're saying
like more people were like, buy it now because of the side effect.
That was a trick. They were saying like, you might get a really long, you might have an erection for a really long time.
Exactly.
Priapism. That's a great point.
Yeah, it's called priapism. And they'll say that if it lasted more than 3 hours, you need to go to the ER and have them treat you because you have this extremely powerful,
right,
crazy stamina erection.
Those sons of bitches, they're so clever. I did not even think. That's like them go like, you know, don't take very side effects might include. You might fuck a lot.
Yes.
So it might, you might miss appointments because you're banging people. You're right. They're trying to, the side effects was a positive thing. I didn't even think about that.
You know how many of my male patients, when I go through the side effects before I prescribe it, look at me like, wait, are you for real right now?
Right.
Like, this is a bad thing. But you do have to be careful. Occasionally that can happen. And
a 4-hour erection?
Yeah. You know how you treat it?
Blowjob.
Jamie, no, like even after you've ejaculated, you still have an erection.
No, what am I going to do with that at this point?
Well, deal with it for a while. And then, so if it causes your blood flow to change after a while, it can be quite damaging to the tissue, your penis itself. So they suggest injecting your penis with a shot of epinephrine, needle to the dick. So now you don't want Viagra.
That's the most painful thing to imagine.
I don't think so.
Where does it wear into the, right to the tip, to the end of it?
I don't know. I've never had to do it.
You know what? I'll take a 4-hour erection. See you in 4 hours. He pulls out that needle. He pulls out a needle.
Your dick just immediately shrivels. You don't even need the needle.
Or
it's like, oh, never mind.
I go, you know what? I'll see you in 4 hours. I'm going to just go. Hang out in a room with
another 4 hours. You want an 8-hour erection now?
Oh no, I meant like in general. Like if he's gonna do that to keep it down, I might go. Let me see what I can do on my own.
Yeah, I get.
And come back in. I didn't know that.
I've never seen that happen.
I didn't know that if it was after. I didn't know if it was after. I did not know it was after ejaculation. It continued. I never knew that. I thought you were just like waiting and waiting, and it was a lot of anticipation, and it was 4 hours, and then you got to. You couldn't finish.
Yeah, no, but I will say, and I don't want to just like knock it because I think Pfizer's done a lot of really good things.
Wow.
Also. I've seen women with Viagra as a prescription on their medical list.
Hmm.
And as a student, I was like, what is this? But it actually treats something called pulmonary hypertension. It's one of the best medicines for it.
Wow.
So sildenafil can do a lot of good.
You blew my mind, though. That would be like with that side effect thing, that it's a good thing. It'd be like if cigarettes, they were like, hey, we got to warn you. If you smoke cigarettes, like you're going to look fucking cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, they did that in their marketing, right?
They did.
That's how they appealed to the masses, especially youth.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was super interesting. So let me ask you a question about the colonoscopy. I do. It's so hard to not go back to. You just must see so much stuff in the, those rooms. Those rooms, you're alone. You're alone with a guy.
Oh.
And some.
No, no. I'm never alone with a man.
Oh.
I always have a chaperone.
Yeah. I know that. I remember we were together last night. And that guy was here. I have a question. I thought of a question.
What?
You ever see an unnecessary, you ever see an involuntary boner?
A couple times.
You have? Because you know masseuses and massage people, you know there's got to be erections left and right.
I've seen some, but like they had their clothes on, okay. Thankfully.
Didn't you tell me there's a way to, There's this way to get rid of an erection?
Well, yeah, my attending taught me that when we had to learn how to do a male exam. And he basically took his nail and flicked it into the head of the penis of the patient. Oh, wow.
So not as much scientific as just hitting someone in the dick pain with your hand.
Yeah, I could never do that. Like, when he said that, I was like, is that a joke? But he was dead serious. He was like, if someone does this to you in the room, this is what you have to do. And me and the other students were like, to hell we will. I feel like I'd get sued.
So we talked about colonoscopies. Mine in particular.
Yep.
We talked about what's going to happen before. The procedure itself is going to be blink of an eye. We talked about the aftermath.
You know, they call it an anal wink.
What do you mean?
When you're testing the tone of your sphincter.
What are you talking about?
When you touch someone's butthole to make sure that they don't have any neurological compromise. If I touch it, it's a reflex to squeeze down. So when you said blink of an eye, you made me think of, no, for you, it's an anal wink.
Are you saying?
I'm just
that, you know, when I hit.
That's how doctors make jokes, okay?
Is that a real thing?
Yes.
So you know how
my notes, it'll say appropriate rectal tone.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll say positive or present anal wink.
Is that so? So is this like when you hit me on the knee to check my...
patellar reflex?
Yeah.
Sure. So well, yeah, like I mean, it's a neurological response to make sure that you're neurologically intact. You don't have a problem with your spinal cord.
I was with a girl once.
Oh, God.
And
I don't like where this is going already. Yeah, if I was with a girl once.
She was kind of facing...
No.
She's facing down. And she gave me an anal wink.
Oh, I thought my no.
I thought that meant go ahead. I thought that meant I had permission.
I don't even... I don't even know what to say to that one.
Okay. Anal wink. Very interesting. Do you know what story that makes me think of?
No, I don't want to hear your stories. Mine are medically derived. Yours are like either fictitious or something that I
fictitious?
Really didn't.
Fictitious?
Well, I'm hoping that you're making them up.
Well, it's for hard to figure relief, out.
I would hope that you're talking about buttholes just to make me laugh. But you
people,
never know.
A lot of people don't think about how hard consent is when the girl's facing the other way.
Jamie.
Right?
That's not even a laughable one.
An anal wink is a way to go like, oh, I think I got the green light.
No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. Oh, my God.
We call it the anal green light. So, interesting. Wow. I had never heard of the anal wink before.
Well, I'm glad.
Could you tell me what it means again? You're saying it means that everything's doing well.
It's a natural reflex. So, it means your nerves are intact.
Gotcha.
And your body goes, ooh, don't like that, and kind of tenses up.
Gotcha.
And if it's relaxed, sometimes you might have some neurological damage.
Okay. Like someone's got a lazy brown eye.
Yeah.
Damage.
Oh, you liked that one, didn't you?
Yeah. It's fun when you're talking about medical stuff to say stuff like, that's super fascinating. You don't know what it's making me think of. You're involved.
You know, I have privileges if you'd like me to go observe your colonoscopy. I didn't even think about that. I could be an assist.
What would you think? I would, of course, not want that. What would you think? What would you think? Would you want? You would not want to do that, right?
No. No. I don't want to be on anything even mildly invasive with you.
I'm curious, when you are under, how much consciousness you actually have. Like when you're not totally knocked out. But you know what I'm going to do? If you're in there, I'll wink at you.
With what eye?
Yeah.
All three?
Yeah. Do you know what the story I wanted to it's with you. The wink. What does the wink make you think of?
Well, now
it's one of the hardest I've ever laughed at something you said in my whole life.
About winking? Oh, the condom.
Yeah. What happened was there's all types of condoms. There's condoms they sell at Target and stuff, and we use condoms, and sometimes I go to a specialty store to see if they might have some higher end condoms. And so I went to one of these places where condoms was there was a place that had a lot of stuff I didn't purchase. There were like whips and chains and things like that.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Bought a couple things, but no whips or chains. Yeah. And they had high end condoms, I thought. And so I bought these ones called, they were Wink brand. And
oh my God.
This is probably a topic for another time, but birth control and stuff like that. But what happened was there was an error. There was a, what would you call it? A mistake. It failed, right? Like condoms are 99% effective. This was that time when they are not.
The unfortunate rupture?
Well, do you think it ruptured or do you think it fell off, like came off?
I thought it broke.
Oh.
Oh, that was a different time.
Jeez. Was I there?
I don't know. Wink. So.
Wow, I just got really uncomfortable.
No, of course you were there. Oh. Yes. Okay, it fell off. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we were both very nervous because obviously this is something we take seriously, practicing the safe sex and everything. But then you said, I think in a way to diffuse the moment, you were like, oh, that's like their selling point. They're like, yeah, these condoms are really secure and nothing bad will happen. Wink. And you said that when you were on top of me.
Well, I think because you were like, wow, that felt really good. I should have known.
It did.
And I was waiting for you to be like, wink.
Yeah, they don't talk about that a lot, but I'm not going to say it. Yeah, I know it did suddenly. You have to be very scared that if it suddenly starts feeling way better.
For a guy, I didn't notice.
You can't tell.
Mm-mm.
So crazy.
Well, like the ribbed kinds you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're textured on the outside.
Yeah.
That's why it'll say like for her pleasure or whatever. They'll put some that are textured.
Is it for her pleasure? Is that pleasurable?
I consider it to be uncomfortable.
Okay.
But I'm sure some women must like it.
Okay, they must.
It helps actually with stimulation for your G-spot.
G-spot, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is the G-spot the same as the clitoris?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, in the sense that we're all one organ, right? Mm-hmm. And you can achieve climax from internal penetration or external stimulation of the clitoris.
Mm-hmm.
No, in the sense that when you say G-spot, it's meaning specifically internal. Versus clitoral outside.
Is that right?
Well, it's a neurovascular bundle. It's basically a mm-hmm. bunch of nerves, like nerve endings.
Wow.
So the sensitivity is like the tip of your penis, essentially.
Oh, I see. G-spot inside, clitoris outside?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, good to know. On the next episode of Afraid to Ask, we have some questions coming in. Some people are embarrassed to ask about masturbating, which is a very natural thing. So we'll get into some of that. We have some questions coming in about birth control, and we'll kind of get into that. I think those are two really good topics. And so we will discuss those things. And then my last question about the colonoscopy, not joking, was this is what started your, what do you call it, an anal wink?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What am I to expect in the days following the procedure? Can I play basketball?
Oh, you'll be fine.
Right away.
No. So you'll come out of the sedation and you'll be kind of loopy for a couple of hours. So you need someone to drive you home. You'll probably have a little bit of gas. That's it.
Okay.
And then your bowels will regulate.
So you'll regulate
us. Like No. So you'll have a normal bowel movement probably the next day or so.
Oh, okay.
Depending on how regular you are in like the beginning before you even have the procedure. And then you'll be fine.
Okay. So
you can go back to work the next day.
Just to warn you, the day I come back, I may need to use the fitness room in your house. But sneaking away to take a normal size dump.
You'd be exercising every 5 minutes.
I'm going to get a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a hotel. I think it's the right decision.
You know what, Jamie? It won't bother me at all if you shit your pants all day in my house. Wink.
Coming up on the next episode of Afraid to Ask.
Yeah, I guess it is an effort, right? To like wrap it up.
Yeah.
Make sure you've got some type of birth control or something versus just like...
Yep, that's the noise I make. This brings me to this question, which kind of ties in here.
I'm really unattracted to you.
Hey, Jamie and Erica. I have a question. Basically, I was with somebody and the condom broke and it's been about 2 days, so I can't take the Plan B pill. I'm just wondering what my options are.
Is there a Plan C?
I was not on birth control. Is there anything that you can tell me about the situation that might be able to help me? Thank you.
Wow.
So just curious,
I didn't know that was what the question was.
How long ago did you get that? Because she said 2 days ago.
Let me ask the voicemail.